It's great to be here, and those of you who've joined us today, you're very welcome. And we've been doing a little series that we've called Forever Christmas. Sometimes, you know, when I was a little boy, I used to get a sign on the back of a car that said, a dog is not just for Christmas, it's for life. Any of you remember seeing that one? I don't know if the RSPCA still use it, but of course a life is not just for Christmas, it's forever. And God wants to bless us with a Christmas that is forever. That's his great gift to us. I heard about a child this week who was having to thank their aunt for a particular present that their aunt had given to them. And the honesty of the child shone through when it said to the aunt, "Thank you for my Christmas present. It was almost as good as the one I wanted." Children are lovely and they're honest. Adults tend to be a little bit better at hiding the fact they're not so enthusiastic about the gift that they've been given. Some of you might have seen this week that report from Dr. Simon Moore of the British Psychological Society, who tells us there are a number of telltale signs as to know if somebody really doesn't like the present that you've given to them. The most obvious one being, of course, it's what I've always wanted. Sometimes it's just, wow. Other times it's that'll come in handy. But he's convinced that such research is necessary because he figures that 59% of the United Kingdom population will be stealing themselves this Christmas to feign delight over a gift they don't want or like. None of you here, of course, I understand that. But I mention it not just to have you prepared in case the gift that you get given doesn't actually hit the nail right on the head, it more hits you on the thumb, but more because I think it does probably go hand in glove with the growing trend to re-gift the gifts that are given to us and pass them on to somebody else. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands this morning, but I wonder how many of us have ever done that. Unwrapped a gift, looked at it and thought, I know who that will do well for. And you wrapped it up again and you re-gifted it. Yeah, I can see. I know. And sometimes, of course, when we do that, it's because not just that, you know, we don't like the gift or we've got, you know, something now that we can give to somebody perhaps we're not that keen on. I remember as a young boy, you know, so a friend of mine gave me some sweets. And I didn't like those sweets, so I rewrapped it and re-gifted it and gave it to my brother. I knew he didn't like the sweets either, but I thought, well, at least it's his problem now, you know. but we do when we do that, on the whole, it tends to be because we either don't like the person that we're going to give the gift to, or we don't like the gift itself. But you know, when I look at what God has given to us in Christ, you know, this is a gift that's not just bad to unwrap and re-gift. I think it's something good, and I think it's something godly that we all ought to do at Christmas time. That sense of coming together. I actually didn't put the slides up there, but it doesn't matter. The sense of coming together and knowing that what we have been blessed with through us, God can make it a blessing in the lives of other people too. So it's that sense of re-gifting our gift that I just want to focus on for a few minutes this morning. Because, you know, I don't really take to heart too much of the way people celebrate their Christmas. I think it's lovely that we've got so many different folks here who celebrate it in different ways. It's not so much how you celebrate it, it's why you're celebrating it. Isn't that true? You know, we all have our different traditions and ways, and we don't stand in judgment upon that. But this sense of knowing that God has come to us in Christ, given himself to us, we can re-gift it and send it out into the world to be a blessing. And if you know him, what have you got to re-gift? Well, there's three things simply that come from what we've read this morning. Joy. Isn't that a wonderful gift to receive in Christ? You know, the angel declared it to the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy. Great joy. That word there is in the Greek, it means mega, literally mega. It's not minimal joy. It's not miserly joy. It is mega joy. I bring you good news of great joy. Now, if you know it, if you know that joy, why are you going to try and hide it from showing it? Shouldn't we bring that joy with us into our places of work, into our homes, into our situations? You know, it's worth re-wrapping and re-gifting to somebody else, I think, that God has become a man in Jesus Christ. I was thinking about that. He's the only baby that's ever been born that when he was born, he was older than his mother. Great. Because he's God. He came from ever in eternity to guarantee that in his coming we could live with him forever in the future. The playwright who walks on to the stage in the middle of the show, the coach who becomes the player, the king who becomes a commoner. Why? Not to be a killjoy, but to be the bringer of joy. And he's worth celebrating, isn't it? Joy is not found in a program. I hope you've enjoyed yourself this morning. Of course I have. I've loved it. You know, I love the dance. Brilliant. I love the Casting Crown songs that went with it. All of this. But joy is not found in a program. You know, it's not found in a position that you hold. It's not found in a place. You don't find it in church. You find it in a person. And that person is the giver of joy himself, Jesus Christ. And when you know him, don't you want to celebrate it? Don't you want to show it? I was traveling on Friday doing a few deliveries myself, and I was 5 o'clock, just after 5 o'clock, and I was listening to Simon Mayo's Drive Time on Radio 2. I know that grandchildren are not in the car, because when the grandchildren are in the car, I'm not allowed to listen to Radio 2. You know, it's far too behind the times for them. But any of you, you know, listen to Simon Mayo at all? If you do, you know on a Friday night he has an all request show. And of course we're close to Christmas, so people were ringing in with their Christmas songs. And he said to one lady who was on the end of the phone, "Well, what excites you most about Christmas? What are you going to be doing this Christmas day yourself?" And this is what the lady said. And I had to pull over because it affected me. She said this. She said, "Well," she said to Mr. Mayo, she said, "it's a little bit sad really. But I'm going to be in church Christmas morning because I sing in the choir." I did. I pulled out. You know, that's so kind of hip. It's a little bit sad. I'm going to have to be in church this morning because I sing in the choir. I can't think of anywhere that I would rather be, knowing the joy in Christ that I have, than wanting to be with God's people to express it and be part of the joy that they can experience of him themselves. Don't you? I mean, isn't that a wonderful gift that God has given us in Christ? And we sing it, do we not? Everything this Christmas is about joy. Joy to the world. Repeat the sounding moans. No, repeat the sounding joy. Joyful and triumphant. Good Christian men and women, rejoice. And a beautiful thing that God has given us in his coming, a joy that is mega, a joy that we need. And if you don't know it this morning, then I'm here to unwrap it and re-gift it so that you can find your life and your hope and your joy in him. And if you do know it, if you do know him, because that's where it is found, are you going to unwrap it and re-gift it to those that you know and love? That's not a bad thing to do, I will confess. I think it's a wonderful thing to do and a necessary thing to do. And I love the fact that it's for all the people, isn't it? John's just captured that a bit, but look at what it says. I bring you good news. You, good news. And yet it's great joy that will be for all the people. When you are someone who knows the joy, you re-gift it and give it to those who don't as yet know it, because of course it's for all the people. Joy to the world, said Isaac Watts, way back in 1719. Any of you remember that? Joy to the world. It's not just a joy for England. It's not a national joy. It's not just a joy for the Caucasian. It's not a racial joy. It's not a joy for the West. It's not a cultural joy. It's not a joy for the rich. It's not a financial joy. It's not a joy for the educated. It's not an intellectual joy. It's not a joy for the happy. It's not an emotional joy. It's not a joy for the healthy. It's not a physical joy. It is a joy to the world. It's for all. And joy is not happiness. I'm very conscious today that some of you, in terms of your feelings, are very unhappy because of what you've confronted recently or what you're going through now. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is a feeling. Can be up and down according to the circumstances that we're in at any particular time. But joy is rooted in the permanence and the person of the God who has come to us in Jesus Christ. Happiness is about what happens to you. Joy is about who is with you when you're going through what is happening to you. Happiness is an emotion. Joy is a decision. I can't choose what's going to happen to me, but I can choose the attitude that I have when it does. So we unwrap that wonderful gift and we re-gift it to those that we know and love. But it's not just joy, is it? We're not just to be a joy giver. The message of the story is that we're to be a peacemaker too. Re-gift peace. You know, Luke tells us here, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to all people. So it's peace as well, isn't it? And yet you look at a verse like that, you think, well, where is the peace then, Sean? You know, if God keeps his promise and he meets our need, where is the peace on earth that is there? Well, the peace that the Lord promises here comes through the peace that first of all he has to bring to us individually, because outside of God and outside of Christ, we need peace with him. You know, because of my sin, I'm at war with God. But when God came to me in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to you as well, he ended that hostility. He died upon the cross, you know, not to destroy us as his enemies, but to make us his friends and to bring us peace with God. Now, when you know the peace that is there with God through the coming of Christ and his dying on that cross and rising again from the dead, so that we know for sure everything he died to achieve, he actually did, then you discover that there is the peace of God to experience. It's not that all our problems go. Yeah, far from it. When you become a Christian, many of your problems just arrive. Isn't that true? Jesus said, you know, in this world you will have trouble. He didn't try and hide it from us. But we can know the peace of God in our trouble, because he went on to say, take heart. I don't know what you're going through, but take heart with whatever you're going through, because I have overcome the world. Doesn't minimize your problems. It doesn't play down your difficulties. It just recognizes the fact that you find your peace in him as he goes through it with you. You have peace with God. And that deals with your sins. You have the peace of God. And that deals with your stress. And then eventually you can come to the place where you get the peace that's promised here from God that deals with the strife, because there is coming a day when the king who was once promised, who came as a baby boy, will come again as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And at that moment, he will bring the peace from God into this world that is for all who've discovered their peace with him and have experienced their peace of him. Now, isn't that beautiful? That will be the day when the swords will be changed into plowshares, when the lion will lay down with the lamb, and the glory of the earth will be filled with the goodness of God. Isn't that beautiful? That's the peace we're looking forward to. And if you're looking forward to it because you know it, isn't that a gift that's worth unwrapping and re-gifting and bringing into the lives of the people that you know? Because there are many that you're in your family, many in your workplaces, many in your neighborhood, they haven't got peace with God. How are they going to find it if you don't tell your story to them? And many people among your brothers and sisters in Christ, they haven't got the peace of God. They're as stressed and worried as though they're not believers at all. They are. They've got their salvation sorted. But they're not living in the certainty of all that's promised now. There's no peace. Go and pray with them. Find somebody to go and share with them, or sit with them, or visit with them. Some of the most comforting words come through somebody taking a time to actually write a letter. Not even type a letter, but write a letter. You find that at Christmas. That's one of the things that really blesses me at Christmas, that people have actually sat down, sent a card, written a note in their own handwriting. What was that? In their own handwriting, taken the time to let you know that they feel blessed in the Lord for even the likes of you. Isn't that something that we can all do? We're so busy and stressed. We're like Martha, aren't we? We got this to do, we got that to cook, we got everything else to do. And it's the people around us that need the gift that God has given to us in Christ to deliver to them. If you know His peace, go and deliver it. Some of the busiest people in the world this week were the postmen and women, weren't they? I felt sorry for the guy coming to our door, because I've told you before, as I work a lot from home, normally I'm collecting everybody else's parcels because he can't deliver them. You know? So I have to take them out and about myself in the neighborhood, which is great because I get the opportunity to re-gift God's joy and God's peace to my neighbors. When they see me coming, they know I've got something good. You know? As opposed to when I go and visit people from the church, when they see me coming, they think, have I been recently? No. What a different attitude. But that's it, isn't it? And we know peace with God. Don't we want to share how other people can find it too? And when we live in the peace of God, don't we want to come into the lives of us stressed and worried and panicked and say, look, I'm not the answer to your problem, but through me the Lord may want to help you. The reason we don't get on with each other, because we don't get on with ourselves. And the reason we don't get on with ourselves is because we don't get on with God. And so He's gifted us in Christ peace. Peace with Him, the peace of God. And we can bring the peace from God to the world around us. You re-gifted that gift this week. It's a beautiful peace. It's not just a human peace. It's a heavenly peace. It's not just a diplomatic peace. It's a divine peace. It's not just a temporary peace. It is a permanent peace. And it's not just an external peace. It's an internal peace. And if peace is found in Jesus, then I re-gift it to you. Then to have peace and to enjoy peace, we need to be in Him. Isn't that true? And then the last thing that I want you to kind of, if you like, unwrap and re-gift, is not just that you should be a joy giver and a peacemaker. And that's what the Lord said we should be, peacemakers. I hope when we come into a situation, we don't stir up trouble, we calm it down. We don't want to be obstructive, we want to be helpful. But we also should be a love sharer. Isn't that true as well? A love sharer. If you're not well loved, you're not going to love well. But if you are loved well, you're going to love well, aren't you? And who's been better loved than you and I? In the sending and suffering and sacrificing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's been better loved? I don't think any of us have been better loved. We've been well loved in Christ. We find our life in Christ now. If we've been well loved in Christ, we unwrap it, we receive it, we enjoy it, and then we re-gift it, and we pass His love on. Don't we? The answer is, yes, Sean, we do. Thank you for letting us know. And I understand that. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. And you know, I mention it as I draw to a close because, you know, I was just sitting there a minute ago and I'm looking at our Christmas tree. And I know I don't know if Gosh is here, but she's done the tree for it. It always looks beautiful. And I've been in so many homes this year and I've seen so many trees. They all look beautiful. They look great, don't they? Whether they're artificial or they're the real thing. When you look at a tree like that, it kind of shouts to me, life. Does it shout life to you? Shouts joy as well, doesn't it? Shouts life. And yet the reality is, you know, it's got the signs of life, but whether it's artificial or it's cut off at the root, it's dead and it's dormant. And the great tragedy for me, at Christmas, is that there's the appearance of so much life in Christ, but it's dormant. It's dead. There's no spiritual connection to the God who's come to us in Christ. We can sing the songs we're supposed to sing. We listen to messages that we're just about able to endure, blessed by testimonies that we want to hear. But it never goes beyond the surface. We're just like a decorated Christmas tree. To all intents and purpose, people around us who know us think that, they're a nice person to know. They're good to get on with. But at heart, though God has loved us well, we haven't received his love. And it would be such a shame when that gift is on offer in 2017 to leave decorated with Christian tradition, lit up with a semblance of Christian joy, and yet still not connected to the God who in Christ comes to raise us from our spiritual death, connect us to the vine that is himself, and allow us to be the fruitful person that he created and saved us to be. I hope and pray that you do know him, and the test of whether you do or not is whether you share his love, whether you share his joy. You can't give what you haven't got. You can't give and rewrap what you haven't already unwrapped and had. So the test of joy is, how much in love with the Lord Jesus truly am I? And the application of it, I think, as I close, couldn't be put better than this one anonymous housewife who expresses everything that I've been trying to express through unwrapping these gifts of joy and peace and love and re-gifting them to your heart so you can unwrap them and re-gift them to the hearts of your friends and neighbours and colleagues this Christmas. And if you listen to Premier Radio, this has been put out an awful lot, but it just seems to kind of connect all the dots for me this Christmas as I commend our living God and Saviour to you. It's based on 1 Corinthians 13. And I'll close with this. Imagine this housewife writing these words. She says, if I bake a Christmas cake and dozens of mince pies but have not love, I'm just another harassed housewife. If I decorate my house with outdoor fairy lights and a twinkling Christmas tree but have not love, I'm just wasting electricity for no reason. If I write 100 Christmas cards and stick a newsletter in each one but have not love, I only gain writer's cramp. Love stops baking to phone a friend in need. Love stops decorating to hug a child. Love stops shopping to visit a lonely neighbour. Love does not envy the colour-coordinated Christmas decorations in another's house, nor the neatly wrapped presents under a neighbour's tree. Love does not write vain Christmas letters boasting of this year's achievements. Love does not just send cards to those who can return the favour. Love does not only buy presents for those who can return the favour. Love does not work out how much a friend will spend on your gifts and then seek to spend not a penny more. Love knows the joy of giving without counting the cost. Love is patient when faced with a queue at the post office and smiles at those sharing the experience. Love does not get angry and shout at the kids to stay out of the way. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Computer games break, chocolate soon vanish, Christmas tree drops their leaves, but the gift of love endures forever. Love is not just for Christmas. It lasts the whole year through. Christ is not just for Christmas. He wants to stay with you forever. And forever Christmas, to live in that day-to-day experience of enjoying Him in His joy and His peace and His love, only becomes, I think, the more richer when we unwrap it and we re-gift it and make those around us all the richer for what we bring in His name. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank You that it's good news of great joy, and it's for all people. For those of us who know it, help us to show it. For those of us who haven't yet found it, Lord, I pray that they'll be found in You this Christmas. And in 2017, they'll remember that this was the year it became forever Christmas for them. Lord, we know You're not here to make us religious. We know that You're here to bring us into right relationship with You who made us, with You who only seek the best for us, for You who alone can fulfill the potential that You've placed within us. And so, Lord, please, I pray this Christmas, may the gift of Jesus be unwrapped in us as we receive You by faith. Believe in our heart the message that the angels shared all those years ago, and in believing it and receiving it, want to go out and deliver it in a joyful, peaceful, loving way to those who will never find what they're looking for until they have been found in You. And I pray it and I ask You, Lord, as You speak to our hearts, to write Your truth upon us, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.